our theme is Thanksgiving, and one of the things we're really trying to get into our hearts, into our minds, is that there's great joy in being thankful. And today is a day where we are particularly looking at ourselves and looking at the world around us and trying to have an element of thanksgiving within our hearts. And harvest, if ever there's a time to be thankful, harvest is a time to be thankful. Wouldn't that be right? Yeah, okay, so feel free to talk back to me a wee bit, okay? Nod your head, amen, smile, things like that. So harvest is a time to be thankful. Yes. Amen, that's good stuff. Okay, and so I actually came across this write-up that was a scientific write-up, but it actually says that there's massive benefits to being a thankful person. Okay, so I'm going to give you 7 benefits of being a thankful person. It's not my sermon, it's just the introduction. Okay, but here's 7 benefits to being a thankful person. The first one is this. Gratitude opens the door to more relationships. Apparently, according to certain studies, I'll let you read this if you want to after, but certain scientific studies and psychology studies and all this sort of stuff, but someone's more likely to want a friendship with you if you show gratitude to them at any point. So, for example, if they hold the door open and you say thank you, it's more likely to open the door to greater friendships and to bigger connections. So gratitude opens the door to more relationships. Gratitude improves physical health. Right? Who knew? Gratitude actually improves physical health. So here's the write-up on it. Grateful people experience fewer aches and pains. Right? So better than paracetamol. And report feeling healthier than other people. According to a 2012 study published in Personality and Individual Differences, whatever that is, not surprisingly, grateful people are also more likely to take care of their health. They exercise more and are more likely to attend regular checkups, which is likely to contribute to further longevity. So being thankful. Number 3 reason for gratitude or thankfulness, gratitude improves psychological health. So being thankful reduces a multitude of toxic emotions from envy and resentment to frustration and regret. So they're starting to discover that those emotions within us, they are toxic within our bodies and they can actually cause illnesses and different things like that. And so if we have an attitude of gratitude, of thankfulness within us, it actually can improve our psychological health, our health, and actually release happiness and decrease the chance of depression. Not good? So even more reasons to be thankful. Number 4, gratitude enhances empathy and reduces aggression. Number 5, grateful people sleep better. So if you ever wanted a reason to say thank you for things, it helps you to sleep better. So writing in a gratitude journal improves sleep, apparently. According to a 2011 study published in Applied Psychology, Health and Wellbeing, spend just 15 minutes jotting down a few grateful sentiments before bed and you may sleep better and longer. There you are. Number 6, gratitude improves self-esteem. So a 2014 study published in the Journal of Applied Sports Psychology. So we're really into the big stuff today. It's okay, I will get to the Bible, I promise, okay? But I just thought this stuff was really interesting. And it increases an athlete's self-esteem, an essential component to optimal performance. Other studies have also shown that gratitude reduces social comparisons. So whenever we're thankful for the things we have, we're less likely to be envious or jealous about something that somebody else has, and so it increases self-esteem within us and gratefulness for the life that we actually have. Grateful people are able to appreciate other people's accomplishments. So gratitude. Number 7, and finally, gratitude increases mental strength. So for many years, research has shown gratitude not only reduces stress, but it may also play a major role in overcoming trauma. A 2006 study published in Behavior Research and Therapy found that Vietnam War veterans with higher levels of gratitude experienced lower rates of post-traumatic stress disorder. A 2003 study published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology found that gratitude was a major contributor to resilience following the terrorist attacks on September 11th. Recognizing all that you have to be thankful for, even during the worst times, fosters resilience. So it's good to be thankful. Amen. It's good to be thankful. And we're told, of course, within Scripture that we are to give thanks. So this is in line with what the Word of God encourages us to do. Psalm 9, verse 1 says, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all of my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I will give thanks. Do you ever feel in a bit of a grumpy mood? Come on, confession time. Put your hand up if you've been grumpy lately. A few people not putting their hands up. They're just too grumpy to do it. Maybe you're just having your wee moment now. Okay. And one of the ways that we can actually just get out of that grumpy mood is to start to really be thankful for the things that we have. To really be thankful for the goodness of God in our lives, for the fact that we got up, and if you didn't have breakfast this morning, most of us, it was probably because of choice, or because you slept in, or you chose to sleep a bit longer, or whatever else. We've all today, all of us, I'm sure, will have a meal if we need it. Many of us had cars to be able to drive in. We've come from homes that are generally well-heated, and comfortable beds, and pillows, and so many things that we can be thankful for. I loved what Roberta said. I don't know whether it's as I'm getting older, I'm starting to really appreciate creation. I don't know what that is. Whenever you're young, you probably just walk and you see your shoes, so you appreciate your shoes. But whenever you get a bit older, you start to look up a bit and you're looking around. And I just find this autumn beautiful with the different colors on the trees and all of the things around. And it's just like, wow, this is just lovely. It's just absolutely incredible. So we can lift up our heads and give thanks. Psalm 95, verse 2 says, let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. And so we're doing rightly whenever we sing worship to him, whenever we lift up our voices and praise him, because we want to be a thankful people. So we come today to give thanks. One of my most quoted scriptures probably is James 1:17, and it's this. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good gift. So I want to recognize today for me, and I would love for you to recognize this morning, that every good thing in our life, every good thing, every good gift, whether it's stuff that you have, whether it's abilities that you have, whether it's your personality, whether it's your family, whatever the good gifts that are within your life, it's from God. It's from him. Do you know you're good at maths today? It's because God's helped you to be good at maths. If you're good at running your business, it's because God has blessed you to be good at running your business. If you're a good wife today, it's because God has blessed you to be a good wife. If you've got a good wife, say amen. Amen. Right? Okay, I just thought I would try and catch you out there. Okay. God has blessed you. Okay? God has blessed you this morning. We are blessed, and every good gift, every single good thing within our lives, the clothes in your back, the air that you're breathing, the beat of your heart today, good gifts from God above. So we have things to be so thankful for today. It's all from him. There's no such thing as a self-made man or a self-made woman. We are all created by God with purposes, with characteristics, with personality, with gifting and ability that he has blessed us with. So there's no self-made person. Every good gift, every good thing within our lives comes from him. So today we are thankful. So today we say, thank you, Lord. So today we give thanks. And so I kind of was thinking, right, whenever we're having a look at this, what's the thing that I'm most thankful for? Now, this might seem like a Sunday school answer, but I'm going to pan it out a little bit. I personally am most thankful for Jesus. I'm most thankful for the things that he has done for me and for who he is. And I kind of had to try and tie that down, because you really could have been here with no evening service, but I could have been preaching right up to the time the evening service is meant to finish. If we were to pan out everything, in fact, we could have been keeping on, going on and on and on. If we were to try and pan out all of the things we're thankful to God for and thankful because of Jesus for, but I have three things that I just want to put in front of you today. Three things that I'm thankful because of Jesus for. First one is this: I'm thankful for his forgiveness. I'm thankful for his forgiveness. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. We have forgiveness of our sins. Do you know, there's a massive need in our world for forgiveness. There's a story, it's like a Spanish proverb that's spoken about, and it was about a young man called Paco who had become estranged from his father, and he had wronged his father, he had done wrong towards his father, but his father was seeking reconciliation and forgiveness. And so he had looked the streets of Madrid. He had searched throughout different areas of Spain, and he couldn't find him. He had found out that he was somewhere in Madrid, but hadn't been able to tie him down. And so in the midst of his search, he put up on a notice board, "Dear Paco, all is forgiven. Your father, if you can receive this forgiveness, meet me." And he said where he wanted to meet. It was like at a market square. And so at a particular time, and at that time, there's reported to have been hundreds of young men called Paco looking for forgiveness from their fathers. Forgiveness is a real need within our world and in our lives today. A famed psychiatrist called Carl Menninger, he once said that if he could convince the patients in psychiatric hospitals that their sins were forgiven, 75% of them could walk out the next day. See, what do people expect from God? I don't know, maybe you always go to church and you're used to church. Maybe sometimes you're here because you're part of Lynn's family and you've come in to support and you don't ordinarily go to church. Or maybe someone's brought you along and church isn't your thing. I remember a couple of neighbors of mine coming into church and they very rarely went to church and they kind of came in through the front doors. And the first word the wife said was, "Oh, I haven't been struck by lightning yet." Do you know, because there was this kind of idea that God was out to get them, that God, and we have this expectation that God's kind of like this God in the sky who's wanting to hit us with lightning, who's wanting to bring judgment and condemnation, and he's wanting to destroy us. And so we kind of avoid anything that has to do with him at times because we're like, whoa, well, and we don't expect forgiveness. We're not expecting him to want to embrace us and bring us in and bring forgiveness into our lives. But yet Jesus, he came and he said in John 3:17, now a lot of us have heard and know John 3:16, but it goes on to say in verse 17, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." God's heart isn't to hit us with lightning, isn't to bring condemnation, but God's whole mission at this moment in time is to bring forgiveness, is for you and I to be forgiven, is for you and I to walk with him. Forgiveness is what is on offer at this moment in time, not judgment. Now, we deserve judgment because you and I, whether we recognize it or not, since we've been born and since we've been growing up and living our life, we have lived a life for ourselves and ignored a creator God who loved us and created us for relationship with him. We have done things that we shouldn't have done. We've thought things we shouldn't have thought. We've said things we shouldn't have done. People talk about things of sins of commission and omission. So there's things that we've done we shouldn't have done, but there's things that we should have done that we haven't done as well. And so throughout our lives, we're building up these sins that we would call them sins and our offenses before God. And yet God is longing to forgive us like Paco's father. "I want to forgive you. I want reconciliation with you. I want forgiveness to be for you." I had a thought while I was thinking about harvest, and whenever I say I like doing the garden, I like cutting the grass, okay? I'm not green-fingered at all. I have to get advice from my mom and dad in terms of what do I do here and what do I pull out here and what do I not pull out and things like that. But I love my garden, and a while ago, we were getting a bit of work done in the house, and the front garden had got pretty much wrecked, and the weeds had come up, and it was dry, and it was barren, and I love it. Anybody else like me, you don't like weeds in your grass, and you like it to be nice and green. Yeah, a few people, okay, well, I do like that, okay, work really hard to try and, if I see the weed, I'm out getting the weed killer and trying to get it all sorted out and getting the moss out and get it all done. So the garden was just in a bit of a mess, and we'd been getting a bit of work done, as I say, and it's just been loads of different things on it. And as I say, weeds and barrenness, and it just wasn't really nice to look at. It needed a lot of work done to it, but it wasn't going to be able to do anything of itself or on its own. If it had been left to its own devices, the weeds would have got bigger and the barrenness would have got worse. And in many ways, that's like our lives outside of God. Whenever we're living outside of God, there's weeds, there's stuff, there's sin, there's rebellion against him. And of course, it all comes in different ways, but ultimately, it's running away from him. And yet what God wants to offer us is a life of forgiveness, a life where he can do something new within our hearts. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17, and it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come." And there's a beautiful picture of what God wants to do. So whenever I see my garden like that, one of the things I wanted to do was change it. And you see, you've heard, and the Bible actually says, you reap what you sow. Isn't that right? You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. But here's the one time that changes. So you reap what you sow. In other words, if you sow in broccoli, that's what you're going to expect in the field. If you sow in potatoes, I don't know what that is. That a butternut squash? I don't even know whether you, I don't know what you do with that. But anyway, if you sow potatoes, what is that, Beth? It is, I got it right, that's good. At least I'm not calling oak trees and other things. But you sow potatoes, you're going to expect potatoes. You sow weeds, you sow a life of rebellion against God. That's what you expect within your life. But yet God wants to come with this offer of forgiveness. And he wants to come like the gardener. Like I came to my garden with the weeds, the barrenness, the nothingness of it. And I got the rotavator. I got the topsoil. I got the new plants. I got the seed. And it's now pretty nice. It's not as nice as some of your gardens, but it's now pretty nice. I can look out the window and go, that's nice. It's an old person thing now, I think, isn't it? So enjoying the garden. But God wants to do that to so many of our lives. Where there's barrenness and weeds, and he wants to come and make everything new. That's what God wants to do for you and for me. That's forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, one of my favorite verses in the Bible because I've needed it so many times, that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So reason to be thankful this morning. I'm thankful for forgiveness. That garden's a picture of what God is doing in my life, the process of what he's doing in my life, and it's what he could be doing for your life if you haven't yet received him. Second reason to be thankful for Jesus is for his friendship. I'm thankful that Jesus is a friend. Not only does he offer forgiveness, but he also comes and offers us friendship. So what's a friend? Give me a few things so we don't mind shouting out in this church and giving ideas, getting ideas. What makes a good friend? Trust. Loyalty. What was the one up over here? Was that, did you say loyalty as well, Matthew, did you? Oh, it was good. That came like stereo. Okay. Anything else? Caring. Listening. Fun. Love. Right, so there's loads of things that constitute being a good friend. I'd written quite a few of those, but someone whose company we enjoy, someone who we talk to and talks to us, someone who brings fun, so I had that down as well, comfort, companionship, someone who brings advice at times, someone that can speak into something and give us a bit of light on a situation. I came across an illustration or a quote, and it just said this, so you can nudge people beside you if you need to. Friends are God's apology for some of the relatives he gave us. But here's what Jesus says in John 15:15 to the disciples. He says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master's business is. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. I call you friends. I call you friends. So Jesus has invited us into this friendship, a relationship with him. And as I think about friendship with God, do you know, dear love him, he's not here to defend himself, but my dad is a wild name dropper, right? See, if he meets somebody quite famous or somebody, he loves to use them in a conversation. So over his times of running Bible Week, and you can buy this CD and give it to him and say, your son was giving you grief, because I give him grief all the time about this, but he got to meet Dr. R.T. Kendall quite a few times. And so he's now in first name terms with, well, first name or syllable terms, RT, with RT, okay, and he's talking away to RT, and a few of the guys here know him because they've traveled about with him and things like that, but my dad loves a wee opportunity to throw it into a conversation, right, so he'll go, do you know, I was talking to RT, Kendall, and I was, but you know, it's sometimes nice to have friends that you can sort of just drop the wee name in, isn't it, you know, and if you knew somebody that was a footballer, you knew somebody that was famous, or you knew somebody's cousin who was married to somebody else's cousin, who once met David Beckham. Do you know, whatever it might be, you love to kind of have those connections. And yet I'm thinking, We get to be friends with Almighty God. We get to call him friend. We get to call him friend. You know, we love talking about, oh, C.S. Lewis is from East Belfast, and so am I, kind of. We love talking about C.S. Lewis, you know, he's from there. And we were in looking at Lurgan College, and Cara's likely to be going there next year. And we were sort of looking at that, and they were dropping C.S. Lewis's name. You know, they were saying, oh, C.S. Lewis's father came here, and one of the principals used to tutor him here, C.S. Lewis through his doctorate here, and sort of dropping the names. Dropping the connections, and we're all impressed by it, and it's really, really good. And we're like, wow. But we get to say, and we get to walk outside and go, do you see this here? Those leaves falling off the trees and the beauty. Whenever you get to see the Mourne Mountains and you get to see all of the beauty of creation, or you walk up onto the north coast and you look at the sea crashing in against the cliffs and the beauty and the majesty of your creation, you can get to go, I know the guy created all this. I know the guy that just opened his mouth and all of this came into being. I know him. I get to talk to him every day. You're not as wowed by that as I was. I was really wowed by that this week, thinking, wow, I get to talk and get to know him. He wants a relationship with you and with me. And not only is he an amazing person that we get to call friend, but he's an amazing friend. Do you ever get frustrated at times with some of your friendships? You know, you feel like you're chasing them all the time. You feel like you're trying to organize this and organize that. And sometimes you think, why do you even bother? Because they keep saying, oh, I'm washing my hair that night. Or, no, I can't do it, I can't. And sometimes you can get a bit frustrated in friendships because you think, this isn't feeling reciprocal. I'm making all the effort here and they're not really doing. Now, you're all gone quiet there. Nobody wants to admit that you ever feel like that. But sometimes we can feel like that. And yet, here's the thing, is that it's totally the opposite, the other way with God. That Jesus is pursuing us, constantly pursuing us, always there for us. Never, never is he absent. Never does he miss an appointment. Never is he too busy for our attention. That's the kind of friend we have in Jesus. And it really struck me this week, and I have to be honest, it was this week. It was just God wants a friendship with me. Because sometimes, and I'll talk to those of you who we are Christians, but sometimes we kind of view Jesus as a means to an end. I know we'd maybe never verbalize it that way, would maybe never say it that way, but sometimes we can come to Jesus like, oh, I need healing. I'm going to come to Jesus for that. Oh, I need a breakthrough. Oh, I think I'll go to Jesus for that. Now, that's not, we can't do that, but whenever that's all that we're doing, I'm coming for Jesus. It's like whenever your kids are only coming looking for money. It's nice whenever they come up and just sit with you for a while, isn't it? No? Nobody else? Yeah, you're like, no, get them out of the house. I'm happy. But that friendship, that kind of sense of, and I just really sense for myself, like a real challenge God putting on me, and a nice challenge, a really good challenge was, I want to be your friend. I want a friendship in this. This can't be form or just out religion, like tick boxing, right? Got through my Bible study this morning, right? Got my prayer done this morning, all the wee tick boxes done. Okay, haven't swore, I haven't done this and I haven't done that. And we end up putting it down to tick boxes whenever actually God's after a friendship, a relationship. And that we get to adventure with him, and we get to talk to him, that we get to wake up in the morning, we get to read a letter from him, we get to commune with him, talk with him, we get to hear from him at times, we get to have adventure with him, because God's got things every day in store for us that could be adventurous and exciting, opportunities to speak to people, encourage people, and we can start the day off going, right, what's today got for us? And yet so often we're starting it off like, tick, 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 now I can get on with the rest of the day and not feel guilty. But God's calling us to a friendship, a relationship, a connection. So I wonder if you're viewing that life and our connection with God like that at this moment. Is life with God more of a chore, more of a duty, more of a tick box list? Well, God is not looking for religious duty, but for relationship. He's looking for friendship. And that's what he's drawn us towards. So I'm thanking Jesus this morning for friendship. That I get to be a friend of God. That I get to turn to him in moments of greatness as well as moments of struggle. that I know that he's a God who never leaves and never forsakes. Today, I'm thankful for friendship with him. And thirdly and finally, I'm thankful for his faithfulness. I'm thankful for his faithfulness. Do you know at harvest time, a lot of what we're doing is we're remembering the faithfulness of God. We're remembering that the seasons haven't failed. So I'm now, oh dear, 39, going to be 40 next year. And I haven't yet seen, and I know even in Northern Ireland we complain, but there are general seasons that we see rolling in. I know we're going to have them all in one day. But every year for 39 years so far, we've had summer with a lot of rain, warm rain. We've had summer, we've had autumn, we've had winter, we've had spring. We've had summer, we've had autumn, we've had winter, we've had spring, we've had, and I could go on 39 times. Some of you could go on a wee bit longer, but he never fails. He brings about the seasons. He brings about the crops. He brings about his blessing. He brings about his goodness. Jesus never fails. He's faithful. And the word of God says this. It says, Psalm 86, verse 15, it says, but you, O Lord, are a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Abounding in faithfulness. Not just faithful sometimes, but abounding in faithfulness. Lamentations 3, 22 to 23 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end, for they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. What does it mean that God is faithful? Well, it means that if he said it, you can trust it and depend on it. I don't have time to go through everything that he said today. There's a big book called the Bible. It's filled with all of the things that he has said, and you get to read it. But if he has said it, he's faithful to it. He's faithful to who he is. We can trust in him. We can depend on him. If we had more time, and I'm sure all of you have seen people doing trust falls, and you've seen folks who, even whenever you can't see them, that you can put your trust in them. I do this with Emily, and she doesn't trust me yet, because I go, fall, and she's always walking back like this. But hopefully as she gets older, she'll learn to trust me, because there's no way I would ever let her head hit the tile floor. I would always catch her every single time. And that's our God. And I'm thankful for the faithfulness of Jesus, that he's never let my head hit the tile floor. He always catches us. He always carries us. He is always there. If he said it, we can trust. We can depend on it, put our full weight upon it. Do you ever go, especially if you're maybe more of my shape, demeanor, sometimes you go to sit in a chair and you sort of, let's just check that out a wee bit. There was one time I sat on the edge of a table in Pizza Hut and it came with me, and it was a bit embarrassing. But here's the thing, we can put our full weight on Jesus. Every single thing, totally trust, totally depend on, totally lean on him. So whatever it is that's going on in your life, you can trust in him. You can depend on him. It's not, well, I'll kind of put a few eggs in that basket. I'll trust him a wee bit, and then I'll be over here. Do you ever remember, was it called Million Pound Drop? There was the game show, and you had to have the answer for the question, but there was a couple of different answers, and you could put a certain amount of money on that and a certain amount of money on that one. Well, here's the thing. See, if Jesus is part of those options, it all goes in Jesus, because you can always trust in him. You can always depend on him. He tells a story in Matthew chapter 7 about two builders, a wise and a foolish builder. And those who build their life on his teaching, on his words, and trust in him aren't like the builder who builds in the sand, which can be washed away, but they're like people who build their house on a rock, that even when hard times come, that it stands firm. Why? Because he's faithful. He's faithful. What does it mean that Jesus is faithful? Well, it means if he says he'll be there, he'll be there. He will never leave or forsake. He'll never walk away or abandon. I've never experienced that yet. Continually knowing his faithfulness and his goodness. And do you know what another good thing about that is? That God is not changeable. Do you know, sometimes we can be a bit changeable where, do you know, some days we're doing great and then the next day we're a wee bit, well, most of us admitted to being grumpy. Next day we can be just a wee bit different. And sometimes people can be even a bit worse than that, and it's like, oh, it just depends on what day you get them ones on. God's not like that. He's the same every single day, constant every single day. He is not changeable. He's the same. He's a God of mercy today as well as tomorrow. He's faithful. One of my favorite hymns that we can sing from time to time is that hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And it just says, Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. You change not, and Your compassions, they fail not. As You have been, You forever will be. Appropriate for harvest time, summer and winter, springtime and harvest. The sun, moon, and stars and their courses above, they join with all nature in manifold witness to Your great faithfulness, mercy, and love. And for those of us who have known Him and given our hearts to Him, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. All I have needed, Your hand has provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Coming to a close, but I would like to close just with this story. It's a story of a hitchhiker. It's a guy called Roger. And Roger was just finishing his term with the army. And he was trying to get home. And he had his combat gear on. He had his army rucksack with him. And he was just trying to get home to his family. And he was hitchhiking. He had the hand out. And a few people had passed him by. And he could remember the date. It was a date that would stick in his mind for the rest of his life. And the date was May the 7th. So he's thumbing this lift. And surprisingly to him, this brand new Cadillac pulls up in beside him. And a guy, businessman, looked very successful, says to him, where are you going? He says, I'm going to Chicago. He says, well, I'm not going quite as far as there, but guy says, hop in, I'll give you a lift wherever you need to go. So he gets in and they're talking away, and it's quite a long journey, and they're just talking and talking. And this guy who's just finished with the army feels a prompting. He's a Christian. He had walked with God. He feels a prompting that he needs to tell this driver, this businessman, this man called Mr. Hanover, he needs to tell him about Jesus. They're getting close to where he is, and if anybody's ever been in that situation where you feel you have to do it, you're like, whoa, and he was a bit nervous, and he just thought, right, I'm going in for this. And he just says to him, do you know, I really need to tell you about Jesus. I need to tell you that Jesus forgives sins. I need to tell you, and he explains the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and he encourages this guy that God wants a relationship with him. God wants to forgive him, and that God wants to give him life, wants to give him heaven and not hell, wants to give him forgiveness and not condemnation. He wants to have that life with him. And so Mr. Hanover, he pulls the car over, and the army guy thinks he's getting kicked out. Mr. Hanover puts his head on the wheel, and he says, this is the greatest news I've ever heard. He says, can we pray? Can I come to Christ? And he gives his heart to the Lord. Amazing moment. Mr. Hanover gives him his card. He says, if you're ever in Chicago, look me up. I'd love to meet with you again. The drive to the destination to where the army guys and he's dropped off. He gets out. The car drives on. Number of years later, Roger, he's married. He's got his own kid. But this time, it's 5 years later. And he's running his own business. And he has to go to Chicago for business. So he decides, I must look up that guy, Hanover, and see what he's doing. So he looks out the card and he gets to Chicago and he goes into the business, massive Hanover Industries, massive building in Chicago, and he kind of goes up and he says, I would love to meet with Mr. Hanover, and the receptionist said, that's just not possible. But I could maybe get you to meet Mrs. Hanover. She's up in the office. She could meet with you. So he says, that would be great. So he goes in and he starts to talk to Mrs. Hanover. And he's chatting away to her. And she says, did you know my husband? He says, well, do you know, I only got to meet him on one occasion. He was so kind to me. He had lifted me up. He had picked me up. I was hitchhiking. I was trying to get to where I was going to. And he lifted me and we talked for quite a while. And that day really left an impression on me. And she says, so really, what day was that? He said, I'll never forget, it was May the 7th. And she started to get a little bit emotional. May the 7th, 5 years ago. And he's kind of thinking, oh, right, okay, well, maybe he's told his wife about what happened. So he thinks, in for a penny, in for a pound, I'm just going to tell her what happened. He says, do you know, while we were driving, I felt like I needed to tell him about Jesus. So I told him about Jesus. And so he told her the same story. He said to the wife, you know, God loves you, God. He's faithful, he's good, he's all of these things. And she just started to bawl, started to cry her eyes out. And she says, Roger, you don't realize that that night after my husband dropped you off, the car, he was in a car crash and he died. He said, God had promised me years before that. He says, I was a believer. God had promised me years before that that he would save my husband. And for 5 years since his death, I thought God had broke his promise. I'd walked away from God. And yet you're standing in front of me telling me that 5 years ago, just before his death, that God kept his promise, that God remained faithful, and that my husband gave his heart to him. Do you know, guys, God is faithful. He is faithful. He never lets us down. And today I'm thankful for a faithful friend who forgives us and forgives us and forgives us. So in a day where we're thankful for so many things, so many reasons to be thankful, I'm just asking us for a moment to bring the focus in a little bit, that we would be thankful for Jesus, that we would be thankful for his forgiveness, for his friendship, and for his faithfulness. And can I just say to you today, if you have never given your life to him, Jesus wants to give you another reason today to be thankful. That you today could encounter his forgiveness. That you today could start a friendship. And that you today could start to learn what many of us have learned, is that God is faithful. And it doesn't happen by saying a fancy prayer, by doing any, it happens by opening up your heart and just simply saying yes to him. Yes to God, yes to his forgiveness, yes to beginning that friendship, yes to discovering that he's faithful. Can we just bow our head? Literally, I'm not going to ask anybody to do anything, but I would love you to bow your head, just to close your eyes, just to consider, just for a moment. Maybe if you're a Christian here today and it's become a bit of a tick box exercise, why don't you just begin to thank God this morning for his friendship? Begin to enter into that anew today and afresh today. And if you're maybe going through some difficult times, through some testing times, just be reminded today that God's faithful, that he'll not let your head hit the tiles. He's faithful. So Lord, I would just pray today that for anyone in this room who has never said yes to you, Lord, I pray for that yes to come from their hearts. As you call, as you beckon, as you, Lord, want to enter into that friendship, I pray they'll say yes. Yes to your forgiveness, yes to your friendship, yes to your faithfulness. For those, Lord, who Christianity's become a little bit of a tick box, a little bit of a duty, a little bit of a chore, Lord, I pray that, Lord, we'll run back to that friendship, that adventure, that knowing that you connect with us in that beautiful way. And Father, for those in the room that are going through difficult times, may they be reminded today that you're faithful, that you'll never let them down. In Jesus' name.